Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Mark, and I have the privilege of working for Jen during the week. Her mom's here and just laughed at my joke. She knows how Jen is. No one else does. So, anyway, I have the privilege of being the lead pastor, and I want to echo everything that that you just saw and was just said. I'm super excited about what is going on at Movement Kids. There was a time a few years ago that Movement Church was a few of us in a classroom, and the Movement Kids was basically how many kids I had at the time. And it's been cool to watch that double and triple and triple again. And like Jen said, we're getting to a point where we look at, you know, numbers and different things, and a large portion of our numbers are back there. And so we're excited about that. I've seen my own kids make spiritual commitments, wanting to be baptized and other things back there. And so I'm proud of that team and all the work that they put in and the things that they do. And so we just wanted to celebrate them today and get excited about that. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's been an interesting time for my family. We recently sold a house, bought a new house, moved, and we have a house that's kind of under construction. And so I actually was really proud of myself for just being able to find a shirt and pants today. That doesn't seem like an accomplishment to most of you, but last week I wore the only outfit I could find, literally. And so the fact that I had like two choices this week let me know that I made some amazing progress in the unpacking process. So we've been moving. We tore all the floors out of our house. We came home from a vacation. Thought that there would be new floors, and there weren't, and so we did that awkward thing where you're just like, okay, that room has nails in it. Just don't go in there, kids. And you're seeing them like in there, like eating nails and stuff like that all week. And so it's been a little tense around our house and trying to figure that out. But we got home recently again, and we have floors, and we have carpet, and all the things that a home should have. So my marriage is going to be okay now. You guys don't have to worry. I think I joked about that last week. So don't worry about that anymore. But it's been cool. Going through all of our stuff, I found my old baseball cards, and people are telling me I'm a pack rat and should throw some things away. But I found some good stuff, too, in the move. My brother, a couple years ago, took every home movie that we had. Growing up, my dad used to have like the giant 20-pound VHS camera that would sit on his shoulder, and he would take that to like every baseball game and everything. And so my brother, for Christmas, took all of those VHS tapes and edited everything down into DVDs. And so he made like one for each of us, you know, like a whole set. So there's chapters. It's like second grade, the second grade musical, the time Mark struck out at a baseball game and cried. And he would like even give everything like chapter titles and stuff. And so I've been just like real, you know, nostalgic and going through stuff. And so I thought if it was okay, I wanted to share a movie of my childhood today. It's not super embarrassing, but you'll probably laugh at me anyway. So this is something I found, something, excuse me, that I was watching that I thought was fun. But I want you to know, before I tell you this, I should give you some context. There is a group that existed in the Christian music world, a little subculture here, called DC Talk in the 90s, right? Some of you know them, some of you don't care, and have never heard of them. The one guy from the group now performs, calls himself Toby Mac, so maybe you've heard of him. But I had what I would like to call a problem growing up. I wanted to be him, and I don't just mean like, oh, that's cute. Like, I would buy the hats that this guy wore. I would wear like any necklace I saw this guy wear. So some of you know, my brother-in-law is in a band and has a little fame and notoriety now, and people are always like, do you find their fans weird? And I never want to tell people, but I'm like, I used to be one of those weird fans of another band. So like, if I existed in today's culture, I would be the guy that had like six Instagram fan accounts where he was just like posting weird pictures. So I never get bothered by fandom. But anyway, this is a clip. The audio is not good. The video is not good. It was taken on a VHS tape. From Big Lots, probably, because that's where we bought our VHS tapes, right? But I wanted you to see this. Check this out. Take a trip down memory lane. This is me and my brothers channeling our inner child and a little DC Talk. You guys, you can go ahead and you can cut it. You can cut it. There's more, but it's all of the same thing, and it's not very good. I was the pale one, just like I am now, in case you couldn't see me on the side there. Anyway, that was me and my brothers, and we grew up in the country, and so there wasn't much to do. And so that was a typical weekend evening, we had an audience of two, my mom and my dad, and so we would put on our coolest nylon track suits and pull a t-ball hat sideways and see if we couldn't just make some fun. Later on, we learned to add flashlights, and we realized if you went like that really fast, and it was kind of like a strobe light if you darkened the room, and so you could really get a country light show going, and so we had some fantastic times there, but obviously, you know, we're just having fun and trying to entertain our parents and try to show them what we could do. And so that was just, I was watching all that stuff this week and looking back at my childhood and realizing that even in this move, a lot of the things that I've wanted for my kids are in some way kind of chasing my childhood. I want them to have better rhythm and better clothes. But I want some of the same things for them. I want them to have quality time with mom and dad. I want them to have a place where they can run and they can have animals and they can have fun. And so in some ways, I've just kind of been chasing those memories and thinking back on those. And as we started this series last week, as was mentioned, we've talked about the fact that some of us look back positively on our childhood. Some of us look back at that time and think like, those were the good years. And yet, as we talk to kids, as we interact with people, we don't always represent that. We use words like, well, don't be so childish, or you need to grow up. And we seem to be in a rush to put people in a place where they need to not act like that. And so this series, as was already mentioned, is born out of a heart of looking back at the childhood years, looking back at our childhood, looking back at the life and the attitude of a child. We know that Christ said that in some ways we need to be like children. So we want to look at that innocence. We want to look at their lives. We want to look at the way they carry themselves and say, what can we learn from them? What can we take away? And so I want to take us to a passage this morning. We're going to be in 1 John. If you've got a Bible, we're going to be on page 942. You can turn there. But I want you to know something, that oftentimes, in this book, the term childish is used. The term referring to someone as a child is used, and it's not a bad thing. And so when we say we want to find our inner child, it's because we want to celebrate that. There's a few times that John in this book uses the word child to encourage us as children of God to overcome sin. There's another time that he uses it to encourage us as the world gets rougher and we feel like we're approaching the end times. There's another time that John uses the term child to let us know that you and I, those who have decided to follow Jesus, belong to God. And he wants us to keep our hearts and our lives pure. And so I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. We're going to be reading the end of chapter 2 there and into verse 3 on page 942. If you've got a Bible under your seat, 1 John 2:28 down to around 3:10. And the word child in this passage, in this book, and the way we see it all throughout Scripture is not used in a demeaning way as we see sometimes. We're not looking at children and thinking, oh, they're so immature. They never pick up after themselves. And so last week we began to highlight this heart and this aspect of kids and the way that we want to mimic that. And we weren't talking about, oh, we need to be like kids because they're clueless and they just smile a lot. No, this was our big idea last week. We said that children are dependent and unafraid to ask for help, and that you and I need to be like that with our Heavenly Father, right? When you were a kid, if you wanted something, you just went to your parents and you asked for it, right? Whether it was milk, whether it was a toy, whatever it was, whatever you wanted, you knew that you were dependent on your parents and you weren't afraid to ask for help. And so you and I need to be like that. And we want to continue that train of thought today. And so our big idea for this morning is just going to be this, that when you're a child, you want to entertain and you want to imitate. When you're a child, you want to entertain and you want to imitate. And so let's jump in and read those last verses of 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 on page 942. You can read along, take some notes, and I'll read it here for us. It says this in verse 28. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. I already mentioned this, that when we understand who we are as children, we will want to entertain. Now, that may seem like a weird word because of all the nuances that we think of that. We think of the entertainment world, and we think of people who maybe are not people that have any business being in a conversation talking about our Heavenly Father. We think of musicians, we think of actors, we think of those who are entertainers and the things that they do and the things that they're known for, and it doesn't seem like a great concept. But that's why I wanted to show you this video. I'm not the best example, but maybe 8-year-old Mark there was in some way. Like I said, my brothers and I simply wanted to entertain our parents, right? We wanted to be before them. We wanted them to see us. We wanted them to recognize us. We wanted to make them smile. We wanted to share a moment and say, here's what I'm doing, and I'm doing this for you. I want you to see this. I want you to be proud of me. That's what it means to entertain. And so this passage is referring to those who have given their lives to Jesus, those who have said, Lord, I wanna live my life for you. I wanna follow you. Scripture tells us that you and I are children of God, and children simply want to entertain. If you know who you are in Christ, it will change and it will dictate what you do. And when you know who you are in Christ, you will want to entertain your Father. You will want to be before him. You will want him to notice you. You will want him to see you. You will want him to celebrate you and recognize you and smile and see the things that you're doing. This passage tells us that children simply want to entertain. And so as we know who we are in Christ, as we know who we are in our Father, we can rest in him, we can abide in him, we can be confident in him, and we can know that we're living in response to his goodness, and that the things that we do are entertaining to him. Like I said, sometimes we attach a negative context to that word, but we should want to entertain our Father. We should want to live so that our life is before him, so that he can see it, so that he can have joy, so that he can watch us. I have a few kids. Some of them up here were mine. I'm not going to tell you which ones in case you were judging their dancing. All right, we'll talk about that later. Some of the kids up here were mine. Some of them weren't. All right, that's all you need to know, right? No, we have four kids, and it's amazing when a child walks into a room, because they know that they're your kid, right? And so my kids don't walk in and say, excuse me, Father. They don't say anything like that. They just walk in the room and say, Dad, I need an iPad or something, right? And they just proclaim that, like, Dad, we're out of milk, or like, Mercy spilled the cereal. They just know who they are. They know that they have an audience. They know that I love them. They know their identity. And so they just tell me what's on their mind. They tell me what's on their heart. They tell me the things that they want the world to know, and they want me to know, right? And they just proclaim those things and they say those things. This passage is saying a similar thing, that when we know who we are, we know who we are in Christ, and we're abiding in Christ, we're resting in Christ, we're sitting in Christ, that we can live our lives before him and entertain him and respond to him. We can let the world see him in us. We can live our lives with confidence and with boldness, right? Kids never have to come in the room and say, Dad, do you still love me? Do you want me to talk to you? No, they never start with that, because they know the context. They know that they're mine. They know that they're loved. They know that they have a place, and that they can live and they can respond and they can entertain with confidence and with boldness. So we know as children of God who we belong to. And when a child knows who they belong to, they can live out God's love language. And God's love language is simply this. He desires and wants and loves our obedience. He loves to see us glorify his name. He wants to see us confident and bold. And he's entertained by that. And don't let the negative connotations creep into that, or what you know of the entertainment world. God wants to see us glorify his name. He wants to see us confidently and boldly living for him, living before him. I mentioned that we moved, and when you move, you find things that you didn't know you had. You find things that you thought you had hidden from your kids. And so my kids have recently become very connected with their pogo stick again. And I thought I'd run over the pogo stick or thrown it away or something. But every time it seemed over the last couple weeks that I wanted to talk to someone, they would just be on the thing like boing, 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 like right next to me and right beside me. And so I'd be having a conversation and literally our 8-year-old would just be like right here, just like boom, 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 making noise on the pogo stick. And as I was talking, he would say things like, "Dad, check it out. Dad, look at me. Look at me." He figured out how to lock the pogo stick like between his thighs, and he does it with no hands now. And so I'd be at the house like, you know, the air conditioner needed some repair, and we had different contractors and people coming out, and I'd be talking to him and like paying thousands of dollars and stressed out and all this stuff. And he's like, "Dad, look, I'm on a pogo stick. No hands. Dad, look," you know. And I'm like, "Okay, buddy, I see you on the pogo stick. I see you over there. I see what you're doing. Yeah, that's great. That's great." And yet, you know, I was reading through this week, and I thought of that. You know, when we talk about boldness, and we talk about confidence, when we talk about living before your Father and knowing that He's entertained by you, that He loves you. My kids reminded me of that in a way that made me kind of annoyed in the moment and made me humble a little bit later. But they never said, "Dad, do you love me? Dad, do you want to hear this? Dad, do you want to see this?" They knew who they were, and they had a confidence and a boldness out of that. And so they wanted to simply entertain their Father. We should simply want to entertain our Father. Let me read another part of this passage, chapter 3. Verse 2 says this: "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him or understand who He is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So as I've said, as children of God, we should want to entertain. You probably were thinking somewhere deep inside of you, like, "Yeah, I know you said not to think about the negative connotation of that word, but is that really the heart of today? Is that really we should just entertain? So like, if I can learn to jump on a pogo stick or tap dance, that's just what I've got to do, and God will be happy and God will be pleased and everything will be great?" We wanted to clarify that. And so we've already told you our big idea for the day, but as children of God, we should want to entertain and we should want to imitate. And so this passage, these verses we just read, kind of dial down into that a little bit more. As we spend time with God, as we take on the character of God, as we take on the DNA of God, as we know our identity and we know that we are His children, we know that we were once created in the image of God, and the things that are in our lives, the things that exist, the sins that we commit have separated us from God and put a distance between us and God. And so He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to give His life, to die on the cross, to build a bridge so that we could know God the Father, so that we could have relationship with Him, so that we could be found in Him. As we understand that, that message is called the gospel. And as we know the gospel and live the gospel, as that takes hold in our lives and our hearts, as we let it change who we are and change our character, our lives and our actions and our character and the things that we do should look different. And so we should learn to imitate our Father. Now, sometimes when we think of the word imitate, we think of something like a cheap imitation. This is not that, but simply as you spend time in the presence of someone, you become like them. As you spend time looking at someone and focusing on someone, you become like them. So if you're an 8-year-old in rural Ohio pretending you want to be a rapper, you start to wear weird clothes like them, right? If you're spending time in the presence of God, talking to God, studying God's word, knowing the character of God, you're going to find that your character and your speech and your actions and the way that you interact with the world will change. Kids imitate their parents. Our fourth and final child is named Zion, right? And she is 18 months, and she's in a phase right now where she just loves to imitate. And so the things that we do, she just does her best to make it happen, right? And so I mentioned that we haven't had a ton of flooring in our house for the last week, and so there were different times that we're just like, okay, who wants to hold her right now so she doesn't go eat a staple or a nail or lick an electrical wire or something, right? And so we've just been like walking around the house holding her. And so the other day I was trying to get ready for work, and I'm holding her, and I had to brush my teeth finally. And so I'm just doing that, and she's like right here, you know, and I get to the end and I'm like, you know, trying to lean over and spit out the toothpaste without getting her hair in there. It was a real awesome, proud parent moment. You guys that are parents get it. And some of you that aren't probably get toothpaste in your hair too. So you know how that goes. But I went to spit in the sink, and I was like, and as soon as I did that, she goes right after that. And I looked over, and my first thought was, she has a toothbrush? And she didn't have a toothbrush, but I just assume, I'm like, man, she knows what she's doing. And so she didn't know that it's not dignified to spit toothpaste, right? Even as I'm telling it, I'm like, this is a disgusting story, right? It's not the proudest part of your day when you're like, yeah, I had a little toothpaste here and kissed some guy on my shirt and I had to. No, but it's something that we just do. It's part of life, right? And all she knows is that she looks at me, she knows she's mine, and she does what I do. And so if I go, she goes, right? And that's what you do. That's who you want to be. And so she imitates her father. Another thing that she started doing is seeing us blow our nose from time to time. We have four kids, and so there's just a lot of nose blowing going on in the house, right? And so usually you wake up in the morning. I know, again, these things are very undignified, but you have that moment. Some of you maybe in the shower, but most of you just give it a that sort of thing, right? And you have a Kleenex and you clean the nose out. And so Zion has started seeing us do that from time to time. You know, we do it in a normal, dignified, mildly adult way and blow our nose into a Kleenex and dispose of that and try to keep things clean. As soon as we do that, wherever she is in the house, she just goes, right? And so she doesn't have a Kleenex, isn't even aware of what she's doing, and usually just kind of, well, you know what I'm saying, just kind of stuff all down through there. And so she's watching us. She's spending time around us. She's seeing the things that we do. She's seeing who we are, and she's wanting to be like us, and so she's imitating us. And so when we spit toothpaste, she spits toothpaste. When we blow our nose, she puts snot all over her face, right? And so she's imitating us and following along and wanting to be us. And so these last verses here are saying, when you're found in Christ, when you're his child, you won't just want to entertain your father and just do mindless activity. No, the way that you will entertain him is that you will imitate his character. You will imitate his love. You will imitate his goodwill. You will celebrate the pieces of his character that need elevated, and you will celebrate the things that you see and want to be like, and you will do those things. Children entertain and imitate their parents. And you and I are children. Although sometimes we like to think that we're better than that. We like to think that we're above that. We like to think, oh, it's time to grow up. I think one of the things that Satan tells us most is you need to grow up. You need to stand on your own two feet. You need to be your own man. You need to be your own woman. You need to be who you are. You need to not be so dependent. And so the heart of this series is reminding us that no matter what we do, we are always children of God. No matter what we do, we should be looking at our Father. We should be wanting to entertain, and we should be wanting to imitate what we see in him. And so just a simple question as we end this morning. As you look at your life, are you maintaining a heart of a child? Are you aware that you're a child of God? Are you aware that you have a father? That was pretty epic, right? You got scared right there. Yeah. I'm just paying someone to hit the roof with a hammer right now, but I wanted the good effect. Now, are you aware that you're a child of God? Are you aware that you're His? Are you found in Him? And as you look to Him, as you desire to know Him and to be with Him, are you letting His life and His character change your life and your character? How are you entertaining your father? I don't expect you to do really bad early 90s hip-hop dances, but how are you entertaining your father? As you look at the activities and the things that you do and all the stuff that happens, what are you doing for your dad to see? What are you doing for your dad to see? We're talking about being a child. I think one of the things that we would all agree is later on in our teenage years, after we kind of got over that kid thing, there were some things that we all did that we didn't want mom and dad to see, right? My brothers and I used to always love to play with matches. So we would run out, right out back, and just like light pieces of paper. And it wasn't like we're like, hey, mom, I'm going to go out and play with matches. I just wanted you to know so you'd be super proud of me. No, there's certain things that you learn to hide from your parents, right? Are there things that you're hiding from your parents? Are there things that you're hiding from your spiritual father? Are there things that you're hiding from your heavenly father? What are you doing for your dad to see? What are the things that are going on in your life right now? Are they things that are obedience? Are you being obedient and entertaining him with your obedience? More importantly, how are you imitating your heavenly father right now? What are you doing that's reflecting and echoing the actions and the character of God? What are you doing that's reflecting and echoing the character and the actions of the example of Jesus? When you understand that you're someone's child, there's certain things that you're just going to see. People are going to be able to see you and know whose child you are. I'm joking that I'm not going to tell you which kids up here were mine. Some of them are pretty obvious, right? My boys kind of look like me, and so people say that all the time. Oh, I can tell whose kid that is, and I instantly say they're pretty good looking, aren't they? And then people are kind of have that quizzical look, like, did he just say he was good looking? Yes, I did, right? That's the joke, right? But you can tell often when someone is a person's kid, right? Because they look exactly like them, they act exactly like them. And so how is your life looking like the life of Jesus? What are you doing for your father? How are you imitating your father? How has your life been changed? If we're going to talk about finding our inner child, we have to know that our life has to be changed, has to be different. Our life has to reflect the character and the actions of Jesus. And so how are you imitating your father? Will you pray with me? Father God, we are blessed to be your children. We are blessed to be found in you. We are blessed to know that we are yours. And we are blessed to be changed and to be transformed by your word and by your character. And so God, I just pray that we will be individuals. We will be people, that we will be a church of children who honor you. Lord, we pray that we will live our lives in response to your goodness, Lord, that we will want to entertain you with our obedience, that we will want to entertain you in the way that we live. Lord, we pray that we will entertain you with our imitation of your character, with our imitation of the example of your son. God, we pray that people will see your righteousness in us. We pray that people will see your good deeds in us. We pray that people will see your love and the fruit of your spirit in us. God, help us this week to just go back to our foundation and know and trust that we are your children, Lord, to not let Satan tempt us to venture out on our own, but to trust and know whose we are and what that means. God, we pray that our foundation as your children will dictate our actions. Lord, we pray that it will make our actions obvious, that they will be second nature as we imitate your love and imitate your spirit and imitate your character. God, we pray if we've lost sight of that or lost track of that, Lord, I pray that today will be a day that we make changes, that we just say, God, I want to live again as your child, and I want my life to imitate yours. So God, be with us now as we sing. Lord, help us to spend time in your presence so that our actions later on this week are obvious and our second nature. God, be with us now as we sing and as we respond to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.